Have you enjoyed listening to the CrowdPaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some CrowdPaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to CrowdPaw.org/merch, CrowdPaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your CrowdPaw look.
There's power definitely in the process of curating. And I think the more we do that, the more we get to learn different perspectives. And so even if it isn't learning a new concept or a new skill, I'm learning different ways that people set up their business or different ways that people market or different ways that people build relationships. And those conversations are messy.
Turn this up. Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Foranby, aka CrowdPaw, and welcome to CrowdPaw Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. If you're just listening to this episode, you can also watch it on YouTube. Regardless, if you're listening or watching it, I really appreciate your support. Today, I have the honor of having Brittany Johnson on the show. She's a soulpreneur, educator, poet, foodie, puppy mom, suspense reading novel girl. A lot of things. I know we're going to dive into it. But during the pandemic, she placed faith over fear and she left her role as a school leader to start her business that empowers leaders to show up with clarity and confidence in their purpose and impact. And I thought that was incredible, so I wanted to have her on the show. But Brittany, how about you introduce yourself the way you would do it?
Well, hello, and thank you for having me on the podcast, Paul. You did a great intro. That sums up a lot of things, but I am Brittany Johnson. My company, I'm the CEO and founder of Soulpreneur Consulting. And I love to say that I help people deepen in two things, their purpose and in their impact. And what I say by purpose is people truly loving their why and living in their work. And what I mean by impact is the legacy that they want to build. And how I do that is in various ways, which I'm sure that we'll get into. But yeah. I love working with people across the world, various industries, doing great, impactful things. And you hit it right on the head. Puppy mom, I'm a school educator, originally from New York, was in Philly for 13 years. It's like my adult home. And now I'm a DMV girl. I've been here for a little over a year. So excited to be on here with you and to chat.
I'm really excited to have you on the show, that you take the time. I know with everything you're doing, you're really busy, you're traveling, and it's incredible the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. So with that, I know you said you're a school educator. You've lived all across the Northeast. I got kind of the East Coast girly, if you will. Were there any some key transitions in your life that kind of led you to where you are right now?
Oh yeah. I tell people all the time, my journey has been one of going back to the drawing board. I'm quote that one, because that's going to be a book one day. I'm going to put out. So nobody like else it. Take it. But, in college, I went to the University of Virginia. I'm a big Wahoo down in Charlottesville. And I was an architecture major. And as I moved through my third and fourth year, I realized that I liked it, but I didn't love it. And so that was one of those first critical, pivotal moments of my life where I had to go back to the drawing board, literally, and ask myself, okay, Brittany, well, what do you love to do? What are you good at? And like, what does the world need? Now, I might not have asked myself those questions in that way at that time, but this is me in hindsight now reflecting. And it kind of led me on this completely different path. And so it wasn't architecture that I pursued after college. I wound up getting into teaching and I applied for Teach for America and I was placed in Philadelphia. God always is purposeful, and Philly was seventh on my list. And I tell people all the time.
Oh, really? Seventh on your list?
Seventh. And I tell people all the time, I said, do they not see New York, DC? You know, I had no family in Philly. I really didn't have any ties in Philly. It was not on my radar at all. It just happened to be a Northeast city.
Okay.
But yeah, I was told that I was going to be teaching secondary math in Philadelphia. Wow. And who would have known 13 years later, I would have had this amazing home and career that evolved and changed for that time in a city that I was like, what?
And then how that works.
Listen, as I got through, you know, the pandemic, so the pandemic hit, and for many people, it was a time to really step back. And for me, certainly was true to say, okay, am I aligned right now with where I want to be in my life? Is this how I want to live my life? And, you know, I taught, I was a school leader, I coached school leaders across the country, and I did that for 13 years. And I was sort of like woke up during that time period and said, I'm not sure if I'm completely fulfilled and happy. And I love my kids, and I love my school community, and I'm still very deeply rooted in that work. But there was something about the life and the routine and the way that career was setting me up that just didn't feel aligned right now in that moment. Okay. That's the second drawing board. I had to go back and I had to say, okay, well, if you're not fulfilled, that means that there's something else. There's bigger impact that you can make and you got to find it. So Brittany, what do you love? What are you good at? And what does the world need? Mm-hmm. So I started my business and here I am 2.5 this year. This summer will be officially 3 years. Folks, there's passion. And I think the more we get to learn different perspectives, even if it isn't a new skill, learning different business or different ways that people build. And those conversations are super valuable. There's a theme here. Again, I'm writing a book about this. Will be a book.
Yes. Looking forward to the AK and Carla Paul leadership.
And it has been those moments.
If you're just, you can also watch it. Regardless, if you're listening,
really clear about what feels I have good, the honor what doesn't, of what feels aligned, show. What
for
doesn't,
educator,
what do I want to be true
puppy
for
mom,
myself,
suspect
and
all.
What
a
do
lot
I
of things.
To be, and how do I make the moves, as scary and sometimes uncertain as they are, to get to that place? That has been the journey thus far.
That's really incredible, especially what you were just saying near it as you're wrapping things up with the reflection and pausing. And I feel like that's something that we don't do a lot because everything is so fast paced. We're going one thing to another and we're doing things. And we don't often ask ourselves, do we even like what we're doing? Or is it impactful? Is it purposeful? All these different things. And until you take the time to pause and reflect, you're really never going to know.
Yeah. I think when we think of, when I ask people, and this is even like young adults to now adults, like, what does it mean to be a great leader? Mm-hmm. And one of the, it's you're courageous, you're really strategic, you're self-aware, right? People kind of like roll off. So you're honest, you're thoughtful. They come up with a list of things.
Yeah.
Reflective is often not in the top 10 for me. And that people tell me. Mm-hmm. And I have found my own personal growth as a person, as a leader, as a business person, and working with so many leaders in various capacities, that the power of being reflective and very introspective and self-aware are really underrated, like, values and skills of being a leader. And I think we need more of that. And I think the pressure that I have found a lot of leaders have felt is we got to keep going. There's this urgency to push, to be bigger, to be better, to hit goals, to hit metrics. And when you're on that route and on that road and path, where do you give yourself, and then ultimately modeling that for then your team, to really step back and just take rest and to pause and to be reflective about the business, about yourself? There's layers to it. I think we need more of that.
Absolutely agree, but especially with yourself, your business, and the people that you're working with, whether you have a team or contractors or different people that you collaborate with. I think there's different levels to it. that we, like you mentioned, we don't do it enough. Like, it's not in the top 10 of what most people think of when they think of leadership. But you really, it's hard to be an effective leader if you're not reflecting. And I know for myself personally, as someone that I say I'm a recovering perfectionist, is that even as you're reflecting, to make sure that you're celebrating the small wins you have along the way, because it's really easy to be like, oh, that happened, move on to the next thing, on the next thing. Or like, oh, this didn't go well, these are all the things I need to do well going forward. But if you don't take the time to celebrate the seemingly small wins along the way, it can be discouraging.
Yeah. We, by nature, are like forced to get really into the weeds. Even now, we've just started the new year. We're in 4 days. And I can already see myself, as well as other folks, they're like, goals, hitting the ground, running, we gotta go.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, pause, take a step back for a moment. You know, like, how can we get a little bit more curious? How can we get more reflective? How can we zoom out a little bit to really see things on a bigger picture? That's a skill that is just as important as also getting in the weeds and executing and delegating. And those are important, but it is a balance. And so reflection allows us to step back and to create alignment and cohesion. It allows us to make some pretty powerful decisions personally, professionally, and allows everybody to really get on the same page, making some strong commitments about how they want to move forward. So the power of reflection is definitely something that I want to work with leaders and teams and organizations more in as we move into 2025. It's time. It's time we reflect a little bit more.
It is time. Time to reflect for sure.
Yeah.
So really leading into that, what you do with Soulpreneur, like you talked about wanting to do more stuff with reflection, I guess. What is a lot of the stuff that you're focused on with different clients or people that reach out to you?
Yeah. So I originally, you know, and I always, at the beginning, I said, I help people deepen in their purpose and impact, right? And so it's like, okay, well, what does that look like? So I there's really three buckets of ways that I work with my clients.
Folks, there's passion. And I think the more we get to learn different perspectives, so even if it isn't or new skill, learning different business or different ways that people build. And those conversations valuable, like, or super valuable.
It could be on a corporate level. And it really varies across various topics. Another big bucket is around like project management and helping organizations and teams.
Regardless, if you're listening,
execute a project as big or as small as it needs to be, with
educator,
clear roles and responsibilities, clear deliverables and deadlines, just clarity about what's happening and really backwards planning. Which I have to say, being an educator, we are backwards planning pros out here, and so it's been. Putting like a little side pin note here, but I will say I didn't realize transitioning from being in a school to now running my own business, how many skills being an educator really gifted me with that allowed me to be successful in running my business. There are lots of things that I'm like, I just naturally did that as a school leader or as a teacher or as a principal that I don't see others doing. And I'm like, wow, thanks. Thanks, being an educator. Look at this. Look at this pathway.
That's awesome. I'm curious, what are like a couple of those things that you felt like helped you transition to a business?
Yeah, I mean, the ability to backwards plan and strategically, you know, I put together curriculums. I put together unit plans. I put together scopes and sequences. Like, that's one thing of like putting something together a pretty large scale helps me with strategic planning and really helping businesses craft out a business structure and plan. Like, educators are organized. We have systems and structures and processes. And then the other is around like presentation skills. Like, you know, and I would say this stemmed from actually being in the classroom, was you got 30 kids of various learning levels and energy levels and development levels that you gotta get to learn, but also foster rapport and engagement and care. Yeah, as adults, we need that too. And so it has helped me a lot in terms of how I put professional development together, how I actually like tell my story or publicly speak in front of people. I go right back to the classroom. It's very similar things. Those are definitely like two big buckets. And then the third is managing, but like people management. You know, when you're a school leader and you gotta work with families, you have to support kids, you have to support staff to support kids. Like there's a lot that goes in that as well. So yeah, it's been such an interesting, I've been enjoying that, making those connections as they've come up.
That's really incredible how those two things that really lined up, even like we were talking about going to the drawing board a couple of times from being in architectural school and literally going to the drawing board to when you were in the classroom and the things that you learned from the backwards plan, which, yeah, I didn't realize that like all that stuff, like I have no idea what it takes to create a curriculum or to teach students any of those things. But to keep them engaged, I feel like that's much harder to do than when you're speaking in front of a group of adults and all the other things that you're doing with leadership development now. Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipal.org/coaching. So I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
You know,
maybe not.
Sometimes I ask myself, I say, I think there's a lot of similarities.
Really?
Even as adults, our attention spans and the way we need to engage and the types of learners, we're all various learners and like, mm-hmm. we're just evolved children, you know? And so I have found how I present in front of adults, sometimes very similar. You're still going to get animated, bubbly, but also, you know, like there's some structure, some flow and organization and engagement. You're going to turn and talk. We do it with the kids. Adults are going to turn and talk. They're going to stop and jot. And I might not call them those things, but it's still happening.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can see. I guess I didn't think about that. I guess there's a lot of similarities. So it was directly preparing you, those 13 years are directly preparing you for what you're doing now.
Who would have known? And on each one, I heard you say, and even this like came up, I was like, oh yeah, as an architecture major, I had a drawing board, literally a drafting board. Mm-hmm. In school, being an educator, I had my drawing board, literally board, the projector, all the things. And so there's always been a drawing board somewhere now here. Now I'm like, huh. Where's my drawing board? I got to get like a big board or something around here to start like brainstorming and writing things down.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You got to keep that drawing board analogy going.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I love it. It's like a metaphorical one now, but I want it actually in this phase to be literal. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. I'm leaving over here with some gems myself.
There you go. It's mutual. Love it. Absolutely love it. So with a lot of stuff you do in the leadership development space, I'm curious, like, how do you go about continuing to develop your own leadership?
Yeah. So two things. I truly believe that we are continuous learners.
Folks, there's passion. And I think the more we get to learn different perspectives, or new skill, learning different business or different with different ways that people build. And those conversations valuable, like, or super
like reading for development. And so I really dove into Atomic Habits.
I'm the AK and Carla Paul leadership.
Simon Sinek, Start With Why. And
if you're just, you can also watch it. Regardless, if you're listening, instrumental in I have the honor of having differently on the about show. For educator
and the way of which puppy I want to show
mom,
up
suspect,
as a leader, as
a lot of things,
like friend, all the things. And so those have been instrumental for sure. You know, I'm always seeking different workshops. I probably could be better at it, but like if there's something that really piques my interest, why not check it out or go to a conference and mm-hmm. connect with new folks. There's power in community and connection. And I think the more we do that, the more we get to learn different perspectives. And so even if it isn't learning a new concept or a new skill, I'm learning different ways that people set up their business, or different ways that people market, or different ways that people build relationships. And those conversations are valuable, or super valuable, I should say. Those have been sometimes more important than a book that I've read. But so I think it's just balancing all of those things. I will say I read this book called Be the Unicorn, and it was 12 Data-Driven Habits of Exceptional Leaders. And one of the ones was, I can't remember the category, but the way he described it was, is you always need to have a hobby. Like, you should always be learning something. So what's your latest hobby? What's a new skill that you really want to get good at? And there were like three questions that in interviews this man would ask, applicants. And I remember when I read that, I was like, I don't have like a new hobby right now. So we're like, what is the new skill I'm learning?
Yeah.
Let's go back to that. It stood out to me. And I think we need to be able to, like, what is a new hobby that we're learning in this season, or that we want to try this season? What is a new skill that we want to sharpen or get better at? And I think we should be able to answer them. So, Wow. Yeah.
I never even thought about that. I'll add that to my list of books. You said it was called Be the Unicorn?
Be the Unicorn. It is. I have it right here.
Oh, you do? Awesome.
It's a bright blue book.
Nice. Be the Unicorn.
Yes. And it's nothing like rocket science here. You know, a lot of the things make sense. But what I truly love about the way that it's written is it really breaks it down into what does this look like and what doesn't it look like, and gives some examples of real great leaders, exceptional leaders, and the actions that they're doing to actually embody that unicorn habit.
Wow. That's really powerful.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah, I have to check that out.
Yeah.
And then even one thing that I want to go back to, one thing that you mentioned, like you're talking about how you develop your leadership with the community aspect and connecting with people. I think that's really critical because, you can learn a lot of stuff from books or with different seminars, but I think human connection is invaluable. The amount of stuff you can learn from meeting different people. And actually, that's how we met, was through the Colors of Her Success, the stuff you do with that community, really empowering minority women in corporate to be able to be successful, and you doing a incredible job just coordinating everything and your energy and everything. Because I know it was just random how we met. I was in the DMV area speaking, I was able to meet you along with Mia, the founder. So it was, just that aspect of a community and connection is really incredible.
It is. And it's, because it hits on all of those, I hate saying soft skills, because I find them to be quite strong skills. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, you really got to put you're putting yourself out there. And when you're building community, there is a level of vulnerability. There is a level of introspection, and there's a level but also joy and love that people, they're not the like hard skills of like problem solving and I'm data driven and I'm on there is something so beautiful about community. I truly believe to do this work, to do the soulpreneur work, to be in purpose and impact, you can't do it alone. I do not think we are meant to be doing great things and building legacies in isolation. And so to find communities like the Colors of Her Success and many others that are out there is powerful. There's power in the numbers, and people that are coming together that are like-minded and that are passionate and seeking a similar energy or a similar experience. Folks, there's passion, and I think the more we get to learn different perspectives, even if it isn't a new skill, learning different ways that people build, and those conversations are valuable.
Where you are right now.
Yeah. So There's definitely two that come
on
to
the AK and Carla so, Paul leadership.
Yeah. There's a few. I mean, if you know,
if you're just
family,
you can also watch it. Regardless, if you're listening, share your support.
There's
I have the honor of having on the show. We're educator, puppy mom, suspender, a lot of things.
Community of Black and Brown women who love to read, want to pick up reading as a hobby, want to get back into reading, and want to do it in a beautiful, safe, and joyful space. And so we've been doing that since the pandemic.
Wow.
It's grown. I think so this year, 2024, we just closed out with like book 29. And we read all BIPOC authors, various genres. And it's just, we have women across the country that come back. And you know, sometimes it's like, I had a busy season or this is a busy year, but people know when they come back, it's like time hasn't gone by. We pick right back up and we miss each other. We have a group chat to stay connected in the month off months. But I believe that has been just so much joy. And it's also kind of given me a little step outside of work to really connect with great people. I mean, that one I like so hold dear to my heart, you know.
That's amazing. Yeah. Just the longevity of it too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see your bookshelf in the back and I'm like, ooh, I wonder if any of the books are from ones that we've read. I love that you have a beautiful collection back there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. Of course.
That's really good. So with that, is there... like, because I know you mentioned that the books that you're reading is more focused on BIPOC authors. Is there like a cadence to how often you're reading different books, like a few months, a month, or is it more like the community is like, this is what we're these are the books we're going to be reading for this year? Kind of just curious to how this community works, and if it's open to if other people wanted to join, if it's kind of closed already.
Yeah, no, we are open. This is not one of those exclusive types of communities. On my website, www.thesoulempire.com, there's a page that has Soul of Soul Book Club, and you can go on and you can register. We are currently in the process of curating our 2025 list. So we read every other month. So our first book will be in February, then April, so on and so forth. And so what we did last year for the first time is we actually listed out all the books that we were going to read, posted on website, posted on our socials and our group chat. And people really loved having kind of the scope laid out for them. Of course, we're flexible, which is like, we don't know if we want to read this book anymore. This might not be, that's the type of organic environment that we create. But when we put it out,
rocket science really here. You know, a lot of the things make sense. But what I truly love about the way that it's written is it really breaks it down into what does this look like and what doesn't it look like, and gives some examples of real great leaders, exceptional leaders, and the actions that they're doing to actually embody that unicorn habit.
So by the time this episode airs, like this will
highly recommend it.
Reveal like what the books you're reading.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So then that means that for folks that are listening right after this, they need to just head on over to the website, register, look at the list. And when you register, you don't have to come to all. You can come to whichever ones you want. You'll get the questions and on all updates via email, throughout the year, but there's no pressure to attend all of them.
No, that's good. I love the way that you've approached it, and even like from doing things a little bit differently last year versus this year as well. I think that's just a part of leadership, is like adjusting and doing different things, because I'm sure you've seen it when you work with different leaders, that if you're too rigid with your leadership, it can kind of throw some people off and you can't really learn or grow as much when you just keep doing the same thing.
Yep. And again, I think that goes back, this is the theme, is pausing and reflecting. Mm-hmm. The very last discussion that we had for December.
Because it hits on all of those, I hate saying soft skills, because I find them to be quite strong skills. Like, you know, it you really got to put you're putting yourself out there. And when you're building community, there is a level of vulnerability, there is a level of introspection, and there's a level of but also joy and love that people, they're not the like hard skills of like problem solving and I'm data driven and I'm on like, so there is something so beautiful about community. I truly believe to do this work, to do the soulpreneur work, to be in purpose and impact, you can't do it alone. I do not think we are meant to be doing great things and building legacies in isolation. And so to find communities like the Color this year and how you experience her success and many others that are out there is powerful. There's power in the numbers and people that are coming together that are like-minded and that are passionate and seeking a similar energy or a similar experience, that's gold. There's priceless.
And I think the more we get to learn different perspectives,
it doesn't, I would say for the most part, it doesn't lead to what you want.
There's definitely two that come to mind. So, well, there's a few. I mean, if you know, obviously there's family and then there's my friends. I would say one of them is my book club. We have a Soul of Soul book club, and it is a community of Black and Brown women who love to read, want to pick up reading as a hobby, want to get back into reading, and want to do it in a beautiful, safe, and joyful space. And so we've been doing that since the pandemic.
A lot about kind of your
it's grown. I think we're so this year, 2024, we just closed out with like book 28, 2029. And we read all BIPOC authors, various genres, and it's just we have women across the country that come back. And you know, sometimes it's like, I had a busy season or this was a busy year, but people know when they come back, it's like time has just, time hasn't gone by. We pick right back up and we miss each other. We have a group chat to stay connected in the month off months. But I believe that has been just so much joy. And it's also kind of given me a little step outside of work to really connect with great people. I mean, that one I like so hold dear to my heart. You know,
there's more than again just the work that I'm doing.
And I see your bookshelf in the back and I'm like, ooh, I wonder if any of the books are from ones that we've read. I love that you have a beautiful collection back there.
About this healing journey.
Of course.
Growing, of moving through fears and limiting beliefs, of grieving, of loving and finding joy. Actually, so interesting. I had a conversation with somebody and she had said, you know, I don't want to find joy. I want to create joy. And I was so inspired by that yesterday. And it's like, you know, the act of creating joy has been really hard for me in my life of healing from pain.
Yeah, no, we are open. This is not one of those exclusive types of communities. On my website, www.thesoulempire.com, there's a page that has Soul of Soul Book Club, and you can go on and you can register. We are currently in the process of curating our 2025 list. So we read every other month. So our first book will be in February, then April, so on and so forth. And so what we did last year for the first time is we actually listed out all the books that we were going to read, posted on the website, posted on our socials and our group chat. And people really loved having kind of the scope laid out for them. Of course, we're flexible, which is like, we don't know if we want to read this book anymore. This might not be. Yeah, you know, that's the type of organic environment that we create. But when we put it out, it really was great. You know, for a lot of the things that we're doing that sense. The same right now. We actually sent out to our list. It really breaks it down. Kind of a what are the books that you would like to read? We have different genres, and people will be casting their vote. And so, May January, we will be revealing on all of our platforms our 2025 forecast.
More in habit.
But it is a process, and trauma happens, pain happens, but obviously
we don't want those things. So then that means that for folks that are listening right after this, they need to just head on over to the website, register, look at the list. And when you register, you don't have to come to all. You can come to whichever ones you want. You'll get the questions and on all updates via email, you know, throughout the year, but there's no pressure to attend all of them.
Disappointing or unexpected something is in life, and I've had many of those. And so, I am a believer that God places circumstances and opportunities in your path, and it's there to teach you something about yourself. And each moment of like pain or what has felt like a setback or what has felt like an intense loss.
Really, and again, I think that goes back. This is the theme. Pause moment. Is pausing and reflecting. Like, the very last discussion really that we had for December's book club, I took the last 20 minutes, 30 minutes to pause and say, let's reflect on this year's experiences. What books did we love? How did we note that we rolled this year out a little differently? How did that feel? And then what do you want to be true for how you experience book club next year? It's more than just the books that we read. The books, of course, are important. That's like what we do. We read, we come together, we discuss. But why many people continue to come back is more than just, these are great books. You know, it's the community. And so they have an experience there that,
you know, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Or, ooh, that happened to me. Or I experienced that. Or, you know, your post made me
makes them
going.
Feel seen or makes that them feel is safe
or makes them feel like they those are the sparks, have an escape, that's the legacy, whatever that reason is. That I
and so I want
build.
To really make sure it's, that yes, I we're pausing to reflect amazing is what we did this year and how you experience community aligned to how you want really to experience want it next year. What would you want to add? What would you want to tweak? And that is the power of reflection. And whether you're doing it individually or whether you're doing it collectively, you got to pause and you got to reflect to celebrate, seen, like you said, but also like be intentional and make like some commitments with to move else. Forward.
So
in.
The fact that you're doing that really being intentional. And intentionality is so key. Seen and heard. I've really been more intentional the last
That's something
few
I've been more
years because I realized
last,
that
really
when you just
year,
allow life to happen to you, it doesn't. I would say for the most part, it doesn't lead to what you want
speak, and I'm definitely
until you're intentional.
People.
That's
like,
when you start to get the results
in
and
the
you,
middle.
You like, to
I'm
see
more
the purpose
leaning. That's
and
how I
the soul behind everything
so,
that you want.
I it takes a lot for me to share, like just more broadly share stories with.
Actually, I'm a punny guy. I mean, it's incredible leadership for a reason. So I always try to throw some fun in there for sure.
Of course. And I love
and I guess something I wasn't aware of with all
the
stuff
I
do with talking
about
leadership.
I love it. I'm here for that energy.
There's a tendency for people to think that I have everything together all the time.
So we talked a lot about like kind of your transitions.
Like everyone else, I'm learning different things all the time.
Business.
So I've been
how you grow as a leader.
Okay, this is something that happened. This is something that
Brittany as a whole, like, is there anything thing you want the audience to know about you?
Those stuff are important. They're
yeah,
good.
Just open,
but
open
like, also,
up.
Let me tell you a time I failed in my
so much of
I in
where
my
I am today.
This is something I'm currently.
I can't.
So I think both things are.
I cannot are not tell important. My story. I don't know if that made sense. Without
there's a popular quote
honoring
I heard
the
it a
healing
of times
that I've had to do throughout my life.
For some, you know,
and it's a
fine reason.
You know, we're never fully healed. So healing and continuing to be the best version of Brittany.
And I think that
is
what I hear
so much part of my work.
About,
and when
right?
I think
like,
about
perfect.
What it means to
don't have
be in this solopreneur
it's not this role
space.
That you continue to
like,
just
it's more than, again, just
around the world that I'm doing, more like you're a leader
the
now,
marketing and like brand development and the leadership coaching and the project management.
It's a yes, those are all body, mind, soul,
but it is so much about this healing
and
journey
you have to own
of.
And you can own it with grace, and you can own it with
moving
humility,
through fears and limiting beliefs,
and you can also own it with a little uncertainty. Like, there's many times I'm like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing.
Joy,
I don't think it means I'm
actually,
not a leader.
So interesting. Like, I had a conversation with somebody.
There's
and
many times I'm like,
she had
am
said,
I,
you know, I don't want to find joy. I want to create
like,
joy.
Am I really
and
like,
I was so inspired by that yesterday. And it's like,
guess what? You're still a leader.
You know, the act of creating joy.
It's definitely okay not to
has been really hard for me in my life
of
healing from pain
which I talk
and
about
trauma
a lot, and I think,
of navigating
the funny
some
thing is
really hard moments
I think
in
it
life
affects people
but all of those
the high achievers are doing
some,
the most
you know I can't say it's like
it
I wish
the,
that they happened
these people the
but
most,
they have happened
you know
and
they
purpose,
are doing everything
and
already and the people who aren't
now
doing
where
as
I am
much
today.
Don't often feel imposter syndrome it's kind of funny you would think it'd be the opposite
want to make sure that I'm talking about that healing part it is a part of my story and it has led me to the person that I am today and the work that I love to do. So when I talk about solopreneur and I'm talking about we're doing the inner work, we're starting from the in to get to the out, like that's because that's what I've had to do and continue to do.
But I've always been an overachiever, a perfectionist.
I love that you say that healing is a process because it truly is. But I think sometimes we want to be like, oh, we're
so
we reached the goal, we're good, we checked the box, like I had to stop healing, like all that stuff. But it really truly is a process, and it's something I walked through last year as well, 2024. I shared on the podcast just walking through the process of ending a marriage is not the easiest thing to do.
Deep down inside,
so many other things going on. But I think it's really understanding what that it is a process and trauma happens, pain happens.
Now I'm on this higher level.
Obviously,
I
we don't want those
toes.
Things to happen,
like,
but
I,
it's how we respond
it
to it, what we learn from
really
it. And that can really fuel what we do in the future.
I know because I felt it. I've been there. I mean, how exhausting that is. And then you take a moment.
I have to believe
that
everything is intentional.
The heck
regardless
am I
of
am I really happy
how painful
who am I
or
like
how
what do I
want to
do there's like
unexpected
this
something
this
is
moment of
and I've had many of
whoa,
those and so
is going
I am a believer that
F.
God
yes
and places circumstances
really
and opportunities
like
in your path and it's there to
because that
teach
the
you something about yourself
being reflective.
And
that
each moment
is,
of like pain or what has felt like a setback
really
or what has felt like an intense loss has really has
mirror.
Actually been
really
a reflecting pause moment
say,
for me to like
yeah, you know,
sit down and
I
really
what,
feel
what
I need, feel it all,
and
hold
you know
it all,
I gotta own that
and ultimately move
that's
to this
hard.
Next evolution, like spiritually, emotionally, professionally. Like it is, those moments have actually carried, they've been the catalyst to carry
me
there.
Trust me.
And so I, again, I always have to talk about soulpreneur and where I am now is an exact result, an immediate result of this ongoing healing journey. And it's just, it's a part of who I am. It's a part of my story. And I think we need to tell our stories more. There's been people who have reached out to me that I haven't known and are just like, I love your story. Anytime you send a post like you know I'm like yeah I get it or ooh that happened to me or I experienced that or you know your post made me keep going
like
and that is the
you might have been really miserable in
those are the sparks that's the legacy that's the impact that I also want to build it's yes I want to help my clients build amazing businesses or opportunities or communities but I also really want people to feel seen and heard and know that they are worthy and valuable
but to your point
that is so we need more
people don't
want to
actually say dang yeah
yeah there's so many people that don't feel seen don't feel heard they just feel like a number or like a C with everyone else. So the fact that you're doing that, really being intentional, making people feel seen and heard and sharing your story, that's something I've been more intentional about over the last, really last year, but I was thinking about it more the last couple of years because maybe people on the podcast may not believe it, or people hear me speak that I'm definitely more of an introverted people. I'm an ambivert, so I'm in the middle, but I'm more introvert leaning. That's how I recharge.
What am I going to do about it?
And that it takes a lot for me to share, like just more broadly share stories, but I've been learning as I share more, as I show the vulnerability, that it's able to connect with people. And I guess something I wasn't aware of with all the stuff I do with talking about leadership and development, there's a tendency for people to think that I have everything together all the time. And I was like, no, that is not the case.
Maybe this is the
I'm human like everyone else. I'm learning different things all the time. So I've been more intentional about, okay, this is something that happened. This is something I'm learning, as opposed to these are the key steps for leadership, key steps for communication, which those stuff are important, they're good. But also let me tell you about a time I failed in my leadership, or I failed in my communication, or just something I'm currently learning. So I think both things are important.
There's a popular quote, but I heard it a couple of times, or it came across my feed several times, probably for some, you know, divine reason. But you know, it really talked about leadership is not a role, it's a mindset.
It's on my website, but you know what?
And I think that what I hear you talk about, right?
Not next.
You don't have it all figured out. It's not this role that you continue to just that somebody bestows upon you and crowns you with, or you get promotion for. Like, you're a leader now. Like, no, like you step into it. You embrace it.
We've been going for a while. We talked about
it's a full body, mind, soul experience that you own, and you have to own that. And you can own it with grace, and you can own it with humility, and you can own it with confidence, and you can also own it with a little uncertainty. Like, there's many times I'm like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I don't think it means I'm not a leader.
My intention is
no. There's many times I'm like, am I? Should I be doing this? Like, am I really making impact? Like, it's okay to question. And it's okay not to be perfect. And it's okay not to have it all figured out. And guess what? You're still a leader. Step into it and help it.
Embracing this mindset.
Yeah, that they should give absolutely. It's definitely okay not to have everything figured out. There's an aspect of imposter syndrome, which I talk about a lot. And I think the funny thing is with imposter syndrome is I think it affects people who are the high achievers or doing the most. It affects these people the most, even though they are doing everything already. And then people who aren't doing as much don't often feel imposter syndrome. It's kind of funny. You would think it'd be the opposite. But the more you do, I feel like the more likely you are going to feel imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably also the people that hide it the best. As well, you know, I mean, imposter syndrome and your limiting beliefs, like, I mean, that is part of the healing work for me too, is navigating that, moving through it, and reminding myself of my worth. But I, you know, I've always been an overachiever, a perfectionist. You know, it was goals and outcomes and results, and like this accolade and that announcement and this promotion. That was how I lived so much of my 20s and a little bit of my 30s. Like, those were, that's what I thought was important, because that's what society structured around me to think was important. And it's like, all the while, as you're climbing up that ladder and you're moving up, and it feels. It looks really good, but deep down inside,
well, I want to make sure people know how to stay connected with you.
Or you're always, you're living this life of like always questioning, like, well, when's the ball going to drop?
So,
like, please, I got to keep, now I'm on this higher level. I got to be even more on my toes. Like, I can't let it drop now. I got to keep going and going. You put this pressure on yourself.
Make sure I just
imagine. And I know, because I felt it. I've been there. How exhausting that is. And then you take a moment and you look back, and this is often the people that I work with, and they say, what the heck am I doing? Am I really happy? Who am I? Like, what do I want to do? There's like this crossroads. It's like this moment of, whoa, what is going on?
Reach out.
What the
F?
Yes.
And those are the moments. Those are really like where I love to come in and work with teams or people. Because that's the moment of rest. That's the moment of being reflective.
I will come up.
That I would go that route. Capitalizing on that moment.
You can feel a lot of slowing
people down.
It's a popular 80s meeting.
Getting them to ask those kind of questions. To look in the mirror.
And then on Instagram. And to say, so Actually, I changed it. I haven't, solopreneur.
I haven't been doing what makes me happy.
Solopreneur life. It's probably only one.
And you know what? I got to own
some of that. I changed it. I was like, oh, crap, hard. Hold on. So yeah, but those are all the ways.
We don't give ourselves the time to reflect and to pause and to step back. And we'll never be able to
love to be able to set up
really answer those questions. And I think some people are afraid of that. And that's that expected. Trust me.
What's in store for you.
I was afraid.
Thank you again, Paul, for having me on.
We got to be a little bit more courageous, a little bit more curious.
You know, we connected last year through the colors of her success. And as leaders, I see you as somebody
that's really good. I think you're honing in on something that is key, and I think that's the reason why we don't reflect a lot is the fear aspect of it.
I am wishing you,
because we don't know what we're gonna find when we reflect. We might find things that we don't like, find things we have to change. We don't think about it, then we just keep it going business as usual.
That is just confirmation, like, right there, because I haven't told anyone.
You might have been really good at your job.
I love it.
Listen, it's a great word. It takes that powerful reflecting. Word.
So and it's not just one moment, right? It's a series of moments. You know, I'm not saying that in 1 hour of like working with someone, it's like, this is all. Like, it's
your
time.
Wisdom, your
because it's healing work too, and it takes time. But to your point,
people
don't want to actually say, dang, yeah, you know, I'm only in this job because of the money. Or I'm only in this job because
I know
I thought I should take over the family business because that's what my parents, I got to continue taking this on. I have
Brittany's
to.
Story,
I must.
What we've shared about
gotta,
so far.
You know,
whether
and so
it's going back to the drawing board, whether it's figuratively
some,
or literally.
Oftentimes you find
something
about yourself
that you
feels
or
uncomfortable.
Just questioning what you are
feels
doing.
Maybe
if it's
a little
something
scary.
That you really like to do.
And it's like,
you don't like to do it.
Yeah, I don't want
to
do this. I actually realize I don't want to do this anymore. So then, really, it's the
of your job.
There's the awareness.
Things,
and then it's
and
the what am I going to do
like
about it? And that takes also a lot of courage. It takes, like, trust me.
I mean, you can just go full force, but I think it's good to have a plan always. But anything that you're doing,
what
like
you
mentioned, that
you're going to continue
definitely
to move
a lot
up
of key
ladder.
Things that
like,
you
come on.
Shared
like,
that
you have,
definitely
you can have this job forever.
To connect with you.
So why don't you just stay?
That is one way that they can keep.
Trust me, every once in a while, I'm like.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible.
Incredible. Incredible. Have you enjoyed listening to the Incredible Paul Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some Incredible Paul merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to incredipaul.org/merch, incredipaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your Incredible Paul look.